When night is falling and fear is coming, still you're calling me. When faith is lost and my hope exhausted, you will be my strength. When my mind says I'm not good enough, God, you're enough for me. Well, I've decided I'm not giving up. You won't give up on me. You won't give up on me. Your love is holding on.
Good morning, Columbia Grove. Just thank you so much for joining us here this Sunday morning. So live from the Thompson's house, the living room, the cat, the dog, the whole shooting match to your house. I'm assuming you are maybe on your couch, maybe hopefully somewhere with your feet up. But it is so important during this time to be able to connect together in worship. And it's just really fun to see how many people are logging in from all over the place, and just that we can share in these moments together. So speaking of sharing, if you can, maybe even share this video with your friends, and then that way maybe somebody who hasn't discovered online worship yet could find their way in. So take a moment and please do that. And thanks just for all the ways that you've been so generous, even as Pastor Paul mentioned in the pre-roll there. Just thanks for your generous giving to the food bank. Thanks for your generous giving to the church, just enabling ministry to be strong here. And especially for us to continue to love like Jesus to our community as we reach out to, in a time where the need, especially for things like food is just greater than ever. So you've been enormously generous with that, and thank you, thank you, thank you. A little bit later in the worship service, we are going to be receiving communion together. It's just a great way to connect with the Lord and even to connect with each other. So I would invite you to get some sort of communion elements, so some sort of bread, some sort of juice, and then we can do that together. After the worship service, there is an online church foyer on Zoom. If you check your email, you can find that there, or towards the end of the service, we'll actually just post it in the comments and just click on the link. It'll take you there. When you first come onto that Zoom link, you'll probably be put in a waiting room just because with trying to post the link a little more publicly, we've been just trying to be careful about not getting Zoom bombers in there. So anyways, if you go into the waiting room, just hang in there for a second, and somebody on church staff will approve you and just bring you into that space. But I do hope you take a moment just to connect face-to-face, just from your living room to somebody else's, and we can encourage one another with that. So why don't we open our time up with a word of prayer, and then we'll continue in worship. And then actually after that, Don Miller is going to lead us in the time of prayer. I'm just so blessed to have him doing that. Don is one of the founding members of the church, and he is just a dear, dear, dear friend. And to hear his heart as he leads us in prayer is a real treat. So let me just lead us in a time of prayer, and then let's dive into worship. And I would encourage you, even as we are listening to as Julia leads us in a song, just encourage you to post a quick praise item or a prayer request. And as you see a praise item, maybe even like each other's things, put up a little care emoji or something like that to indicate that you're just praying for each other. And is this the way that we can worship together? So, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you even for the capacity to connect over all of this distance, that we can come together around your word, and we can encourage one another. So, Lord, meet us here. And Lord, we pray that our attention would be turned to you. There are so many voices speaking into our lives right now. It's a time of greater change and greater anxiety and greater uncertainty than many. And Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to be a part of solutions and not just problems. And God, we want our hearts to be anchored in timeless truth. So, meet us, we pray, this morning as we worship, as we pray, as we open your word together. And thank you that we can. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's worship together.
I don't see a dead end or a grave. I see Good morning, Columbia Grove. I'm so happy to be with you this morning and to lead in prayer. But first, I want to thank you for all your prayers for me. I've had another one of those stressful times in the hospital in recovery, and my comfort, it always comes knowing that you're there praying for me. So join me now in this prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are with us and sustain us with your love and your grace. We're also grateful for the men and women you have selected to lead us during the trials we must face together today. After the required stay-at-home order, they quickly organized our fellowship into a virtual online program so we could stay in touch, share our love with each other, pray together, and continue to study the great truths we find in your Holy Scriptures. And we need your words more than ever, for our world is fraught with problems such as the coronavirus, the closing of our commerce, lack of jobs, and the attacks on our Constitution, our way of life, and the basic guide of law and order. And we have a problem we have never really solved: our lack of concern and care for our American minorities. There have been many atrocities committed against them over the years. We need your help to close the wounds created over these years and learn to deeply love each and every one, for they were created by you, their souls cry for help. Our nation is under siege from within. Too many in leadership want more government control. Our two-party system is so polarized against each other that our Congress is ineffective and clueless. God, please wake them up and give them the wisdom to do what is right in your eyes. Father, the world needs your mercy. So many have died or been infected by this virus. We ask you, God, to stop the spread of this virus. Protect our medical personnel and give them the strength to carry on. Bless them for their courage and the use of their talents you have given them. Pass on your insights to the researchers seeking solutions to this problem. On a more personal basis, we have offerings of morning prayer. We mourn with the Swartz family: Bonnie, Leslie, Kathy, Taylor, Colin, and their families, with the passing of our dear friend Carl, who we all will miss. Cynthia, God has heard our prayers for James Elvin as he undergoes treatment for a malignant tumor. May peace be felt by you and he and any of his family. Keith, we pray that your friend Bob has Jesus at his side and their family will find strength as they deal with their loss. Grant your friend has a huge struggle ahead of him or her as they struggle with substance abuse. Your friendship will be a great help. And if you can introduce them to the love and strength of Jesus, success is just around the corner. Well, that's what's on my mind, but I would love to share with you a couple of verses of an old hymn called Blessed Assurance. And I would ask you, if you know the words, sing along with me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born in His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Thank you, God. Bless this church and our work. Guide us where there's help is needed, and we wait on your call. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I just love hearing from Don. He is a dear, dear friend. So, Don, thanks for sharing your heart with us. And now we turn our attention to God's Word. So I invite you to open up your Bibles. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2 today. We're in a series called Acts of the Holy Spirit, where what we're looking to do is to notice the Holy Spirit first in the Scriptures, but then also in our own lives. So let's continue in God's Word together as we turn our attention to the Scriptures.
Hi, friends. For the last year and a half, I have been learning how to speak Spanish. Estoy aprendiendo a hablar en español. I've been using this little app called Duolingo. About 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. It kind of turns learning a language into a game, which makes it kind of fun and relaxing. And I've been really enjoying that. Well, after about a year and a half of 10 to 15 minutes a day, I'm starting to pick up on things a little bit. I can understand most signs in Spanish, and if I'm listening to somebody who's like a native Spanish speaker, as long as they're not speaking too quickly, I can usually catch the kind of general gist of what's being said. But the truth is, I am a long, long, long way away from real fluency. If somebody who is speaking, like who for whom Spanish is their first language, was speaking to me, probably sueno como un preescolar. Probably I would sound like a preschooler to them. My grammar is bad. My pacing is bad. There's just a lot I need to do. But one of the kind of positive things that's come out of this is to see what happens when I'm in a conversation with somebody who, well, for whom Spanish is their native language, it's their first language, and just how graciously my preschool level language efforts are actually received. When somebody hears me speak in Spanish, at least if they're a native Spanish speaker, most of the time, there's this little kind of spark of connection. You see their eyes kind of light up. They sort of lean into the conversation. And that's been really kind of cool to experience some of that. And I've been just thinking about that, especially as we come into the story that we're going to be looking at today in Acts chapter 2. But before we do, if you have ever learned another language, no matter how little you've learned of that other language, take a moment and just post that in the comments so we can get to know and encourage one another. Well, anyways, as I'm speaking my preschool level now, Spanish, to somebody, it's just amazing how there is that connection. Because I think all of us, well, we all long to be heard. And I think there's something kind of special, beautiful that happens when we connect in the language of the heart. Where when somebody makes an effort, no matter how small, makes an effort to listen to someone in their language, rather than asking someone to learn theirs in order to communicate. And this idea of reaching out in somebody's native language is right at the heart of the story we're going to look at today. Now, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, where this is part of a series called Acts of the Holy Spirit, where we have been challenging each other to spend 10 or more minutes a day in the book of Acts, really in the Bible anywhere, but especially in the book of Acts, looking to notice the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit How does the Holy Spirit work? What is the Holy Spirit doing? So that we can look for those same patterns in our own lives today. Remembering that the same Holy Spirit that inspired the writers of the Bible, the same Holy Spirit that was active and present in the early church and enabled the gospel to thrive even in the midst of tremendous challenge, that same Holy Spirit is available and here with us today as followers of Jesus. And as we look at this story in Acts chapter 2, the story of Pentecost, it's almost impossible to overstate how important this moment is. Because, you know, here at Pentecost, the Spirit starts to do something, especially two things we're going to look at today, two things that are new expressions of faith. Now, they're very much consistent with the things that, well, with God's character and with the things that have been prophesied at this point now for more than 1,000 years, and over the next weeks we'll kind of delve into that more. But nonetheless, it's something radically new. It's a new expression of faith. And it's one that, when we take the time to think about it, all of us should be just tremendously grateful for. Because, you know, if you come from any ancestral line that is not natively Jewish, then you are a Gentile. You're somebody that, well, that's not Jewish. And this is the moment. This is the moment where the message of the gospel, of what it means to be saved by Jesus, to belong to God, to be a people of God, it starts to cross first this language barrier, and then it's about to cross the all these national barriers. And it's happening right here at Pentecost. Also, it's in that same, that crossing of national, you know, barriers of, I mean, this is the moment where the truth comes to light, a truth that then has gone on to shape our nation even. Like you think of the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, the truth that we all hold, the idea that all men, or as we probably put it in more gender inclusive language today, that all people are created equal. You know, that idea that founded our nation, this idea that we are still learning how to live into, and we are, you know, we rightly are straining against every point where that truth is not being fully expressed yet. But that truth, that bedrock truth, it came from somewhere. It came from here. And it came specifically as the result of this moment in Pentecost, at Pentecost. So, with that in mind, let's read God's Word together. So I invite you to open up your Bibles or your Bible apps, or you can follow along on the screen here. And as you're hearing this story, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, I'd just like you to imagine what it might have been like to be there in this incredible moment. So the disciples, probably about 120 people, they're gathered in a large house, maybe the temple courts of some sort, but they're in a large space. And they're doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do in Acts chapter 1, which is wait for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And then, just a few days after Jesus has ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit shows up in power. Let's read about it. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Now, that's a really good question. Now, the early church in the chapters to come, they're going to be wrestling with that question in increasing ways as they come to discover that this is the moment where God is revealing to them something that has been prophesied for more than 1,000 years, that the gospel is for all people and that the Jews are meant to be a light to all nations. And this is the moment where the message of Jesus goes international. It's incredible. So in this moment, there are some pieces where God is moving in perhaps some familiar ways. I mean, scary ways, dramatic ways, but familiar ways. Let's take a look at those before we look at the two things that, or at least the two things here in this moment that I think are new. So let's pick things up. First, a sound of the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Can you imagine that? But that's something that God has done in the past, hasn't he? You think of Elijah on Mount Horeb and how there's this rushing, violent wind followed by the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. Then there's a fire and tongues of fire that separates and comes on top of comes to rest on all of them. And you think about how God has spoken through fire, Moses in the burning bush, or even the pillar of fire that led the Israelites in the desert. But then there are two things that are new expressions of the Holy Spirit. Let's pick that up in verse 4. I'll put it up on the screen. So all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there's at least two new things happening here. Let's look at the first one. Well, the one that you probably noticed first is the one that I noticed first. It's the idea that they are speaking in other languages. So here's a map of the Middle East, and you see Jerusalem there where Pentecost is happening, the same place where Jesus died, where Jesus rose again. And then you see the nations around it that are represented in this moment, where people from all of those places and all of those native languages find themselves in Jerusalem experiencing this moment. Isn't it interesting how, if you put this on a map, you see something, and I wonder if God is trying to communicate something here, that this message of Jesus and this event, his death and his resurrection that happens in Jerusalem, the message is going to radiate out in every direction, to the north, to the northwest, to the south, to the east, in every direction. The gospel goes international. It starts to spread. And there's this first truth that this passage communicates, that God speaks your language. And God understands you in your native language. It's incredible, isn't it? That's one of the reasons why Christians have historically been at the forefront of linguistic work in the world. That's why the Bible is translated into so many different languages. In fact, in some cases, the Bible is the very first work of literature to be put into writing in some languages. So you think of like the Wycliffe translators and all this incredible work that has happened over the centuries as Christians have lived out this moment in finding ways to express the good news of Jesus in every language. And this also reminds us of something that is true, uniquely true perhaps, about Christianity. That Christianity in its fullest expression is incredibly diverse. Now, there are these common beliefs, maybe even refer back to our Apostles' Creed series on that. There's these common beliefs on who God is and who Jesus is and why we need Jesus, our need for forgiveness of our sins and the truth of his dying for our sins and rising again from the grave. There's truths like that that are common, but the way that they get expressed as the gospel spreads throughout the world is incredibly diverse. The Christians worship in every language, in ways that have reflections of this broad diversity of cultures. Now, the gospel will change every culture that comes to hear it, because the gospel just changes the human heart from the inside out. But nonetheless, Christianity gets experienced and expressed in so many different beautiful ways. Now, of course, there are times where the church has not lived out that truth. You think of things like colonialism and times where the approach the church has taken and Christians have taken is the approach that's similar to almost every other human religion or philosophy, kind of this idea of, if you want to get things right, you've got to learn how to be more like me. So speak like me, dress like me, talk like me if you want to follow my God. But when the church gets it right, when we live out this Pentecost moment, we live out as Pentecostal people on the mission of God, there's incredible diversity. You don't need to learn Hebrew to become a Christian. The Bible is the Bible in English, in Spanish, in Russian, in Swahili, in German. Whatever language you speak, God meets you there. He speaks every language. He listens in every language. It's a beautiful, incredible truth. But that's the first thing that's happening in this moment. But let's take a look at that passage and take a look at the second thing. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I don't know if you picked up on this other thing, but the first three words of that sentence, all of them. That's a new thing too. You see, in the past, the way that God would primarily communicate is through a prophet or through a prophetic leader, so through one person or through a small group of people. But here in this moment, something new starts to happen, where the primary way that God communicates his message to the world, the primary way that the gospel is expressed, is not through a singular leader, though there will be leaders who rise up, but through a people, through the body of Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus, as you ask Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit entered your life, and you are part of the family of faith. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You are a gift from God, and you have gifts from God. All of us, all who follow Jesus, every sincere, authentic follower of Christ, regardless of nationality or language or socioeconomic, any human barrier, none of those things matter. None, at least in terms of the gospel. God uses all people together to share his message and to spread his love around the world, because God wants all people to hear about Jesus. So as we think about, you know, this passage and what it means for us today, just want to hear a few maybe ways we can reflect on it. Have you ever maybe felt like you didn't have very much to offer? Well, a passage like this, it reminds us that you do. Everyone does. And so, you know, maybe one way to even respond to that today, and I just invite you to do that along with real-time me right now, is just to post something that's a little bit like this, to say, God, I am available. That, Lord, whatever you want to do in me and through me, I am available. Lord, please use me today. Because God uses all of us together because God wants to reach all people and all people groups. And then maybe the second thing, the way that we might want to be applying something like that today is maybe just where, as I've been trying to listen to the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and in light of all that's happening in the world around us, this reminds me of, how if God reaches out to people of every language, if God speaks every language like we see right here, and we know from the gospel God doesn't ask people to come to Him. He goes to them first. Like while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He came to us in our need. He's the good shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes to the one. And in our places of lostness, in our places of brokenness and darkness, He comes to us, meeting us in our own language. Gets me thinking about just the importance of listening and listening well. Certainly first and foremost to the Holy Spirit, but also listening to one another. And especially listening and the importance of listening to those voices in our culture that we might otherwise not hear. I wonder what it's like to be a minority in America, to be a black person, a native person, a Latino person. And I realize that often, at least as a white male, I haven't heard their stories, at least not very well and not fully. And if I'm looking to follow a God who speaks every language and listens in every language, I need to learn to listen better. So that's some of the journey that I'm on right now. Now, to listen well, it's not compromise. In fact, it's consistent with the heart of God. To listen well is not to abandon values. To listen well, you still think, you still analyze, you still question. But oftentimes, listening is that first step of connection. To learn to speak in somebody else's language, to enter into somebody else's experience instead of just asking them to meet you in your own. And in the world right now where it just feels like at times, maybe you experience this too, it just feels like we are filled with posting and yelling and tweeting and everybody just expressing themselves. Maybe the way forward is to take time to pause and to listen before we speak. Hearing, perhaps, is the first part of healing. Now, I don't know how that lands with you, but I want to hear it. I would invite you to join me Thursday night. There's an amazing group of folks that are just meeting online on Zoom, and we're talking about what we're hearing in God's Word and looking to apply that to our own lives, including all of the things that we're experiencing around us in our culture. I'd love to have you join me there. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Because I just imagine what the church could be in this moment. And how even these moments of Pentecost, this moment where we can affirm that God loves all people, that God reaches out to all people, that God goes the extra mile, that God meets especially those who are distant from Him. How God especially hears people in their own language. just wonder what could happen and what an agent of healing the church could be as we live that out. And I just want to thank you, church, for the many ways that you're already doing that. I'm seeing you loving like Jesus in your generosity of goods. I mean, you're giving like crazy to the food bank. You've been beautifully supportive with even supporting the church during this really hard time. And seeing you being gracious in terms of your attitude towards others. Lord, may we be people who listen to you well. And Lord, may we be people who listen to one another carefully, thoughtfully, thoroughly, wisely, and well. And if you are just starting on your journey of faith, I hope that as a church we can be helpful to you. So message me, message any of the other pastors here. That's why we're here. We love to walk with you. We want to hear your story as you discover how Jesus is a part of your life and how all of us can be growing in our faith together. So let me just pray for us, and thanks for spending some time with, thanks for being able to spend some time together today. Lord, thank you for what you are doing in the world. Thank you for this moment of Pentecost that reminds us that you speak our language. God, thank you for speaking my language. God, thank you that because of this moment where the gospel went international, that my ancestors were able to hear the gospel and they were able to pass it on to me so I could know the love of Jesus. God, thank you that how from this moment you have sent out missionaries to every corner of the planet and to every language. And even as that work is just on the cusp of even being completed in our time, God, Lord, may you draw and continue to draw all people to yourself. And Lord, would you use all of us together, all who follow Jesus from every nation, from every language, from every race, would you use all of us together to be ambassadors of your love to a world that is hurting, a world that is anxious, a world that is at times just filled with pain, and a world that just needs you so desperately. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So as we respond and as we look to have, we'll just look to be available to God in our own lives, look to grow in our listening to God and to each other. It's so fitting that we conclude our time together this morning in communion, where we remember what unites us as a family of faith, that Jesus would give his body, that Jesus would shed his blood. And it reminds us that that he's here with us now. And so whatever you're experiencing, whatever your past week has been like, whatever stresses and struggles and challenges and experiences you're having, he's here with you. So I invite you to find some communion elements, some sort of juice, some sort of bread, and let's remember what Jesus has done for all of us. For on the night that Jesus was betrayed, after giving thanks, he took bread and broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let's join together in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for these tangible reminders of your presence with us, that this bread reminds us that you gave your body, this juice reminds us that you shed your blood, and Lord, thank you that it's your sacrifice that unites us as a family of faith across every language, across every border, across every socioeconomic group. Lord, you are calling us together as a people. And Lord, we pray that you would even use this time together as a church family, united over the internet in this moment, on Sunday morning, that you would use it to strengthen us together. So we just turn this time over to you, asking and knowing that you can meet us right where we are. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to put just a communion graphic on the screen and some basic instructions, and I just invite you to share communion with one another, or if you're on your own, just to receive it. And know that as a church family, we are doing this together. So let's remember the Lord's goodness through this sacrament. And so as we close, let's close together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. We'll put the words up on the screen. Let's pray these words out loud together, wherever you are, whether you're on your own or whether you're with a family group, whether you're in your car or hiking, wherever you are, let's pray them out loud together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, I hope you can join us for the Zoom chat. Just momentarily. I'm going to post a link in the comments right now, if that's helpful, or probably in your email somewhere. Let's encourage one another this week as we just seek to follow Jesus together. So, Lord, go before us. Help us to live out that Pentecostal call, that we would be. That we'd remember that all of us are part of your work in the world, that we'd be available to you. And Lord, help us to reach out to the world around us, especially those who may not speak our language, whether that is in terms of just human languages or just from a different place and culture and a different perspective or background. Thank you, God, that you love all of us so much that you are using all of us together to try to reach every person. So, Lord, use us this week. Help us to love like Jesus in all we do. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, thanks so much for worshiping with us this morning. God bless you. We love you. And just pray that God would use you and us in beautiful ways this week. Love like Jesus.